Well, the last reason is, and this is where I want you to go with me on a history lesson. We've gone to many scriptures in these past few weeks, but tonight I'm going to take you just a few Old Testament passages. And if you want to start in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 8, we're going to go on a biblical journey to see how the Roman Catholic Church merged with paganism. And long before there was any Roman church, paganism began. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, in the eighth verse, is Satan's first convert, and his first convert was named Cain. And it says in 4:8, "And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Why? Because Cain offered his own works to God, and God didn't accept it. You can read the first part of chapter 4. And Abel offered what God asked for, which was a bloody sacrifice, and God accepted it. And thus became the great division of history with the very first descendants of Adam and Eve, between those who were going to do it their way and have works and have religion. And chapter 4 is the birth of religion. And by the way, I'm not involved in religion. I don't claim to be involved with religion. Religion is a set of man-made rules to approach some deity out there. I'm involved with revelation. Everything that I know did not get invented by humans, by religion. It all came down by revelation from God. Every bit of this book came by the direct revelation through inspiration of God to people. They didn't think it up. They weren't clever. They weren't these gifted people that had these high, lofty thoughts. It was directly received from God. That's what Jesus believed and taught. That's what the early church believed and taught. That's what Israel believed as receiving the oracles of God. And that's what all who believe the truth of the gospel believe, that this is a supernatural book. And by the way, it's historically and scientifically accurate. You cannot say that about the Book of Mormon. You cannot say that about the writings of Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Glover Patterson Frye Eddy or any of the other cults of this world. You can't say that. You can't say that about Hinduism. You can't say that about the Quran. They all are historically inaccurate, scientifically inaccurate, and they're just plain ridiculous. You know what the Hindu Bible says? It says the earth is suspended on the back of four elephants, and earthquakes are when they twitch, when the flies are biting them. That's a good one, isn't it? Maybe it's good to two-year-olds, but it's not true. You know what the Bible says? It says the earth hangs on nothing. It rotates on an axis, and it revolves. It's scientifically, it talks about hydrology, geodesy. It talks about the whole scientific world. None of those false writings teach truth. They might mimic some biblical truth, but this is the Word of God revealed from heaven. Well, there's where religion started. And basically, religion is twofold. You can either have the religion of human achievement. That is, I'm going to give God my best. And I'm going to try my hardest and hope I make it. That's human achievement. That's Cain bringing his grapefruit and his pumpkins to God. Or you can have divine accomplishment, that Jesus Christ paid it all. And when Abel offered a sacrifice of a lamb, he was pointing forward to the Lamb of God. And every Old Testament sacrifice pointed forward with the shedding of blood. And Jesus Christ finally came on the cross and he offered his own body for our sins on the cross, shedding his blood. There's nothing I can do. I cannot achieve heaven. God already accomplished it for me if I will accept it by faith. That is the revelation come down from God. If a bunch of humans wrote the Bible, they wrote a bad book because it's too hard. Because God says we all fail. Humans wouldn't write that. Even the Greek mythology always wrote in a way for the people to make it with all of their errors and all of their sins. They could achieve. God says you all fail. Only by faith can you come to Christ. Well, you keep going to chapter 11 of Genesis, and I want you to hasten on because we've got to cover the whole Bible quickly. 11, 1 through 9 talks about organized religion, and that was around a place called Babel, as in Babylon. And Babel, the Tower of Babel, and that comes from the gibberish when God confused their languages. They built one big ziggurat, a tall kind of thing with worship to the gods of the stars and the sun and the moon. And they were organizing this type of worship. And God went down and confounded them. And basically, that's why in every civilization in the world, you find the same foundational false religions. They all have some type of sun worship. They all have some type of mother-son deity. And it all started at the Tower of Babel. And when God dispersed the nations of the world, They took with them their false religion. And you can read about that in 11, 1 through 9. In chapter 10, 8 through 10, it talks about Noah's wicked apostate grandson. His name was Nimrod. If you take out your history books, the Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia or Encyclopedia Britannica, you'll find out that this fellow married a woman named Semiramis. Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, started this mother-son cult, which surrounds this planet and is in 200 cultures around the world. This idea of a mother with a deity son, and the mother is co-deity with him. Sounds kind of like the Madonna, Mary and Christ, doesn't it? And the first thing I remember when I went to the Vatican Museum as a young person many years ago, my first time to Europe, I couldn't wait to go to the Vatican Museum. I will always remember the first exhibit inside the door. Once you get in through all the beautiful paintings and go into the museum, the first exhibit is all of the mother-son deities of all the cultures of the world. That's an indictment on that church, that they don't realize that what they're doing is what all of the false religions have believed throughout the centuries. Well, this concept builds and builds and builds. It went from Babylon after the dispersion to Phoenicia, and they named the mother Ashtaroth, and they called the son Tammuz. It went from Phoenicia to Pergamos, and in Pergamos it became an official religion. You can read about that in Revelation 3. The church was still battling with it in the New Testament era. It went to Egypt, and it was known as Isis and Horus, the mother-son deity. It went from Babylon to Greece, and it became Aphrodite and Eros. Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and Eros, her son. It went to Rome, and it became Venus and Cupid. Cupid, Valentine's Day Cupid, the little fat guy with the arrow, is a part of pagan mythology and is the son of the mother god. You know, you have to watch out. Even the cartoons nowadays are blatantly filled with paganism. Well, Dr. Dwight Pentecost many years ago was in Mexico City, and I quote to you from his book, Prophecy for Today, on page 133. He said this: several years ago, I visited an archaeological museum in Mexico City. A recent find had just been put on display, which the Mexican archaeologist had authenticated as belonging to the period 200 years B.C., 200 years before Christ, 200 years before the establishment of the church, 200 years before Mary bore Christ into this world, okay? You know what it was? The object was the center of a religious worship among some of the early Indians in Mexico. To my amazement, Pentecost says, it was an image of a mother with a child in her arms. The Babylonian religion had spread abroad to become the religion of the world. Do you know what the religion of Babylon was? The mother goddess. Do you know where our planet is going? Do you know where all the mainline churches are going? They're changing the hymn books. Instead of saying, Our Father which art in heaven, you know what they're saying? Our Mother which art in heaven. This whole concept of the mother god, you know, even look at it in the commercials, shows how long it's been since I watched TV. There used to be one about something, and it would go, don't mess with Mother Nature. Remember that one? That whole concept of the earth as our mother, that is part of Satan's religion, that we came out of the womb of the earth, protect the earth. The earth is a female deity. Well, Semiramis herself, remember chapter 10 of Genesis, had a son. And after she had her son, she called herself the Queen of Heaven. Now I want you to start turning to the book of Jeremiah real quickly. We're going to fast forward. Jeremiah 7. If you don't know where Jeremiah is, go to the middle of the Bible. That's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 7. Because that title that Semiramis called herself, the Queen of Heaven, shows up repeatedly throughout the centuries in this religion of Babylon. And it shows up in the Bible, too, in a very bad sense. Jeremiah 7, in verse 18, it says this, and this is an indictment. Jeremiah is standing at the temple gate, and he's talking about the false religion that's ruining the worship of the true God in Israel. And this is what he says in 7:18. And the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven. What is the Queen of Heaven? That's idolatry. That's this mother goddess. This is Nimrod's wife, Semiramis's title she took upon herself. And do you know what? After she called herself the Queen of Heaven, you can read in Encyclopedia Britannica, do you know what Nimrod called himself? The Pontifex Maximus. Do you know who on this planet today has that title? Mm-hmm. The leader of the Roman Church. Do you know what they call Mary? Do you know? The Queen of Heaven. Keep reading in Jeremiah 7. Keep reading in Jeremiah and go to chapter 44. Jeremiah 44, keep going through Jeremiah. 44 and verse 25. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as follows. As for you and your wives, you have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled it with your hands, saying, we will certainly perform our vows that we have vowed, and we will burn sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pour out libations to her. Go ahead and confirm your vows, and certainly perform your vows. This was apostate religion of the true God. And do you know what the worship of the true God had devolved to? What it had degenerated to? Instead of worshiping the infinite, holy, uncreated, eternal spirit God, they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, baking cakes and pouring out incense and offerings to her. Do you know why God destroyed Israel? Do you know why they were ransacked and wiped out by the Babylonians? Because they were worshiping the goddess of the Babylonians. Keep turning to Ezekiel chapter 8. That's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. So it's only two books away, chapter 8. And we could do this all night, but I don't want to bore you. I just want to show you that it's very biblical. This false worship Babylon was exporting. It's a very biblical concept. It's a very unbiblical worship. Ezekiel 8:14, and he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? That's Ashtaroth's son. What was that all about? Well, let me share with you, because Semiramis, back to the history books, had a son named Tammuz. Tammuz, this is historic, this isn't mythology. Tammuz was killed by wild boars, you know, big pigs with tusks. They gored him to death. And so she had a period of mourning for him. And after he'd been slain on this hunting trip, she had a period of mourning for him, and she put him on this pyre and did a lot of pagan stuff. And after 40 days, he rose from the dead. And after he rose from 40 days, she declared that from that time onward, every year they would celebrate Tammuz's death and resurrection. Do you know what the worship of Baal was in the Old Testament? It was a worship of the death and resurrection of Baal, the son of Astarte, Asherah poles. And they would mourn for 40 days his death and then have an orgy and celebrate his resurrection. Well, after the 40-day fast, they had a joyful feast for his resurrection called Ishtar. Does that sound familiar? Easter. You can look in your encyclopedia, you can look in your dictionary. Easter, Ishtar. At this feast, colored eggs were exchanged and eaten as a symbol of resurrection life. An evergreen tree was brought in and burned. And then everyone ate cakes inscribed with the initial of Tammuz. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have colored Easter eggs. I'm not saying it's wrong to have Christmas trees or to even let Easter slip out of your mouth. We're not superstitious. But I hope you realize that if you buy into the Easter bunny, Easter egg, 40 days of Lent thing, it's paganism. Do you know what Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday and all that, do you know what all that is? Carnival, carne is meat. Carnival is all the meat you want. You have a carnival on Mardi Gras, which is called Fat Tuesday. Why? Because Ash Wednesday starts the period of 40 days of fasting. Where did that come from? It's not from God. It's not from the Bible. That's paganism. That's wrong. And it shouldn't be in the church if that church is Christian. Well, you see that the religion of Babylon spread all over the world, but it didn't just spread around the world. It went right into Israel. You saw that in Jeremiah. You saw that in Ezekiel. And that's why God destroyed them.